Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to take a look at finding your ancestors through DNA testing. It's become very popular. And back with us to tell you more about the process and answer your questions, we have Mary Eberle. She's a DNA expert, finds birth parents of adoptees, among other things. She does a whole lot more, and we can talk with her about that as well. But as we visit with her, I hope you'll join in. What would you like to know about these DNA tests? Do you have questions about results you've received, perhaps? The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Mary Eberle, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Oh, it's great to be here, Larry. Thanks so much.
Well, let's get back to the beginning almost here, Mary. DNA tests, of course, we know those kits are very popular at holiday time, and there are a number of companies out there. Are there many differences, or how do they differ? That's a better question, I guess.
Okay. Well, I would say they each have their pros and their cons. For example, Ancestry, which I highly recommend, it has the largest database of people who have tested, which means you'll have, most likely you'll have the most matches. And also people on Ancestry oftentimes have a family tree. So if you match somebody, you can look at their tree and try to figure out how you're related.
Yeah, I've done the Ancestry as well. And I fairly regularly, it seems, I'll get an email saying, here's a second or third cousin or something of that nature. If you want to follow up, here's how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting. And I'm wondering, let's say I've already done the Ancestry one, but maybe I might want to do another one. Is there any use to doing another one?
There is. And you can either buy a brand new kit, and a company like 23andMe, that's what you would need to do if you wanted to see who you match at this other company. And, you know, that's always interesting because some people, you know, they saw an ad on TV or they received a kit and they're only in the database at 23andMe. So in order to, you know, see if you match people there, you need to test there.
And what, explain the kind of information you receive from a typical test, let's say Ancestry.
Sure. Well, you get two kinds of information. One is called ethnicity estimate.
Yeah.
And it's an estimate of where your people come from. And it goes back in time. A lot of times it's further back in time than what our trees tell us. So, you know, let's say it's 1,000 years ago and, you know, not many people have trees that go back 1,000 years. So that's the first kind of information, ethnicity estimates. And then the second kind of information is your DNA match list. So who in the database where you tested matches you?
And that's both of those pieces of information are interesting. That first piece, when I looked at where, you know, I thought I knew pretty much where I was from France and England were, you know, the two primaries, but there were some other Scandinavian countries that came into play as well.
Right. And when you think about the Viking Age and how far they went, which is way further than I used to think, you know, you can see traces then of that Viking heritage.
You specialize in finding birth parents to some extent. What's that process like?
Well, I have the person who's looking for their birth parent test. You know, I usually start at Ancestry, and then I'm looking at their matches, and I'm trying to separate them out into groups of matches who match each other, and then I'm studying the trees to figure out, well, which ancestors do those people have in common? And a lot of times I can identify a person's great-grandparents from that. And that would be if they had a second cousin match. And then I'm working my way forward in time from those great-grandparents to figure out, well, who are the grandparents and then who is the birth parent?
Oh, and that works?
Mm-hmm. it's pretty amazing. You know, the majority of the time it works.
The kits are popular, especially I think at holiday time, are often popular at holiday time. What about costs? And are there any deals out there? I would imagine there can be some, you know, Christmas time type that holiday season.
Right, right. I would say for an autosomal DNA test, and that's kind of a big word, but it's basically the majority of our DNA is autosomal DNA. And it's the only thing that Ancestry tests, and the other companies test it also. And the cost is roughly $99. But like you said, there are sales. And I know right now, I think Family Tree DNA, which I haven't mentioned yet, but they have a sale going on. So you can check out the websites and then, you know, look for those deals.
You can join in with your own questions or comments, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org. Ideas@WPR.org. Jamie in Algoma emailed that last night a coworker mentioned that the government has access to all DNA that is submitted for ancestral testing. Is that true? And can you shed some light on what happens to your information?
Well, that's a very good question, and it depends upon which company you test with. And at one end of the spectrum is Family Tree DNA, and if you are a U.S. resident, you are automatically opted in to being available for matching to law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go into your profile and set it so that you opt out.
Okay.
GEDmatch, which is a third-party website, just GEDmatch.com, you're automatically opted out of law enforcement view, but you can opt in. And then we're left with Ancestry and 23andMe as kind of the big players. And they do not allow law enforcement to submit samples and try to match the people in the database. But if they had a valid search warrant, and, you know, on rare occasion that happens, then they would be able to.
Hmm. Interesting. Dennis in Two Rivers has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Larry. Just thinking about the organ donation and just wonder about combining organ donation systems with genetics. Because I think that would be a way of finding somebody. I mean, not necessarily say, hey, you, how about you donate me a kidney? But if somebody dies in an accident or something, it'd be a way. And otherwise, I figure one way to find cousins and all that is to win a lottery.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's a pretty big one out there now for about $800 million, I think I read this morning in the paper. Yeah, you find out you had a lot of potential relatives in that case. But what about the organ side of it? That's an interesting question.
Right. You could test and see if you have some surprise half-siblings out there that might be able to be donors. But in general, for transplants, they're matching blood group and what something called MHC, so your tissue type is what that is. And the kind of testing that's done at these DNA testing companies is different. But like you said, you could potentially find relatives that you could reach out to.
And then they would have to be further tested if they agreed to be tested.
Right, yeah. Right.
So there is something to that, at least. Good question. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. There's going to be a lot of testing going on, right? I imagine. Does that have an effect on how long the tests take and, you know, how long you have to wait for information and so forth?
That has varied from year to year. So sometimes it does delay things. So instead of 4 to 6 weeks, it might be 2 to 3 months. But other years, they must have increased their staff in order to handle the extra tests that come through over the holidays.
And you are, and you must be reasonably convinced that these tests are accurate.
Right, I am.
Okay. again, you can join in 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Let me put this to you. Why should somebody hire an expert like you, perhaps to help find parents, for example? You could do it on your own, I suppose.
Right. Right. You can do it on your own. And, you know, there are classes you can take, either free or ones where you pay for it. And a lot of people can figure things out themselves. When they can't, then they turn to people like me. And, you know, I have a lot of experience doing this. It's a full-time
job.
Yeah. You know, so I spend a lot of hours. And I just, you know, I feel like I can see things where other people aren't finding those things.
Yeah.
And I know things like I'm working on a case right now out of Prince Edward Island in Canada. And, you know, I know places to go to figure out, you know, some genealogy and history and that kind of thing. In this case, because people are living on an island and because they came from an island in Scotland, there is what we call endogamy, where there have been marriages within this closed community, right? Because you can't, unless you mail order a bride from off your island. So there is endogamy, meaning that multiple marriages within the same community. And that really makes things very complicated, and you have to know how to deal with that situation. So, you know, just like having that kind of advanced perspective and knowledge.
And, you know, I don't know that I've ever asked you this. I probably have, but how do people find you online or where do they?
Well, some people find me through this radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I have an online presence and I teach. I'm usually on a YouTube Live that anybody can listen to on the first Thursday of the month. And that is through a channel called Are You My Cousin? And if you're on my mailing list, then I let people know about that.
Okay. Mary Eberle, our guest. Let's go to Lisa in Amberg. Lisa, hi.
Yes, I just have a comment. I did 23andMe a few years back, and I had half-sisters that I suspected, but I wasn't sure. And I found out I did indeed have four half-sisters. Just as a side, when they did the testing, they sent a comment back. You know, they comment on Neanderthal content, and they told me that I had the second highest level of Neanderthal they ever tested.
Oh, my goodness.
The brow ridge. I've got a fairly prominent brow ridge. That explains it, right?
Oh, Lisa, thanks for calling. So, well, maybe not the second half of Lisa's comment you come across very often, the Neanderthal part, but is this pretty common?
For Europeans and Asians, we have on average, I would say around 2.5% Neanderthal DNA. And as you might know, the most recent Nobel Prize in medicine was awarded to someone, Svante Paabo, who sequenced the Neanderthal genome.
Oh.
So this has been in the news lately.
All right, there we go. Annie in Janesville, we'll get to you in just a minute. A quick reminder here, Mary Eberle is our guest today as we talk with her about DNA and tracing your family tree, using DNA to do it. And Jill Nadeau is our producer. And Lee Rayburn's our engineer. And I'm Larry Mueller. And you're listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here with Mary Eberle, a DNA expert who finds birth parents of adoptees, among other things. She also founded DNA Hunter Society, a community helping people find answers to their family questions with DNA. Annie in Janesville will give you a chance. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of things I want to ask you about, and I hope you can hear me because I'm in a car. The first thing is my son, I adopted my son, and he was adopted many years ago. He wanted to do his DNA test. He's racial, and he wanted to do a DNA test. And it came back that he was Nigerian and German. And I've always said I'm 100% Italian, and he said, Mommy, there's nobody who's 100% anything. And he got me a DNA test for Christmas. It's 23andMe. So it came back that I was 92-something% Italian, so I was pretty right. But the rest of it was Middle Eastern, like Iranian and Egyptian and things like that. And I'm thinking, like you said, with the Viking DNA, that that's coming from way back, like when the Moors came up through southern Italy and southern Europe. So
Yeah, what do you think? Thanks very much, Annie, for calling. What do you think, Mary?
Right. Well, one thing is that, people who are actually from Sicily and places like that who say, I'm Italian, you know, Sicily was at the crossroads of a lot of migration from the east of there. You know, so people from Egypt, on boats and then stopping in Sicily or other Italian islands. And like you said, some very, very ancient influx of that other DNA into the Italian population.
Yeah, very interesting. A little bit goes on sometimes during those transitions or moving from one place to another. Sue in Cross Plains, hi.
Good morning. I have a question. I would like to have a DNA test done on somebody who is in a nursing home. He's got dementia, late stage dementia, and so he can't follow directions to fit into a tube. I'm wondering if there is a company that will do a DNA test via the swab.
There are. I believe it's Family Tree DNA that does the swab. And, I guess another thing to consider is this consent, right? That if he can't consent, is it okay to do it? And maybe think about, in the past, is this something that he would have consented to?
Yeah. And if you think he would have, maybe there's a power of attorney that would then consider that as well, and I imagine a power of attorney would be able to.
The power of attorney for healthcare?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Would be able to give an okay for or not for that. Sue, thank you. Mary in Sheboygan, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a question about Native American DNA. Mm-hmm. I have the family story is that my great-great-grandmother was half Native American, and church records at the time that she was living say that she was Indian. But my family, my brothers and sisters and I, have all done DNA through Ancestry, and none of us have Native American DNA. Is it possible that none of us inherited her Native American DNA, or is it possible that that was just apocryphal?
Yeah.
This is a very common question where there's a family story and then someone does a DNA test and the Native DNA doesn't show up. So that's a possibility. You could also try testing at 23andMe. They sometimes pick up Native DNA when Ancestry doesn't, but and also looking at the tree and thinking about, sometimes we have a story about a specific person from a specific Native nation being an ancestor, yet the geographic location of that Native peoples is totally different from where your family comes from.
Yeah. You know,
so it's just...
Yeah, taking a look at the tree. But you said 23andMe would be another, if she wanted to test again, that would be a place to test.
Right.
Yeah, there you go, Mary. Thank you. Rick in Milwaukee, your turn.
Hi. I have a comment and a question.
Sure.
The comment is regarding the accuracy of the test. I just wanted to pass along some information, and I'm not looking at it right now, but I believe it was from a reputable source. Possibly NPR, regarding a study in investigative journalists in California decided to test the accuracy of some testing companies that were engaged by the government of California using DNA testing to convict criminals or clear them. And they sent the same sample to, I think, 10 different companies in California. And I want to say they got something like 3 or 4 different results. So that was kind of an interesting result of an investigative journalistic study, I guess. My question was raised by you all earlier and partially answered regarding maintenance of information in a database accessible to the government. I'm very concerned about that. I'm curious about my own ancestry, and I was thinking of taking part in the All of Us program. I think that's based in Madison, or perhaps it's national, and there's a Madison franchise, I guess, of that. But, you know, it would help the scientific community study genetics, and I would get my information. But I'm concerned about storage in a database. Do you all know of any... place I can get my genetics tested and get the results and then not have them stored in a database? Or do you know of, apparently, I guess if it's stored in a database with a court order, you know, the government could potentially get the information, mm-hmm. no matter how secure they say it is. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I would say, you know, in general, if you're not comfortable, then don't test. And I don't know about the program you referred to, the All of Us, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not familiar with that, but, you know, you just need to check out, if you're going to do a DNA test, you need to check the terms of service and read them and see what they are going to do with your sample. I know that at some of the DNA testing companies that I've mentioned, that there's the option to delete your sample, so to remove it, but then you're not going to be able to go back in and look at your ethnicity estimate or your matches. And then also about the criminal testing, you know, I would need to know what companies they used. You know, I'm not doing any criminal kind of work.
So. Okay, Rick, thank you. Appreciate it. Brenda in Milwaukee, on to you now. Hi, Brenda.
Good morning. Good morning. I took the Ancestry and 23andMe test, and it came out 25% European and 75% Sub-Saharan African. So I'm wondering, is there a test that I can use to get more specific information about my African heritage?
Did you say you tested at Ancestry?
And 23andMe, yes.
Okay. Ancestry has the best breakdown of African heritages. So I would look at that. And then also you can look at the 23andMe results. But I know that Ancestry has like the most...
complete?
The most complete, the most categories. So I would go with that.
Are there situations where, I know this is true for dogs, and you can pay more money and get more detailed information as opposed to just the standard test?
Well, there are companies that will say, you know, they'll claim, we will identify which native tribe you come from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at least as of a year or two ago, I was told that is, you know, a big lie, that they're, you know, they're taking advantage of all the people who want to know that answer, and they're offering a test and they're offering information, but it's not accurate.
Brenda, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Jeff in La Crosse, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
I was just going to give you a little bit of information on the All of Us.
Yeah?
It is a, it's, I believe, an independent group, and their goal is to get 1 million people signed up, and they're developing statistical information or whatever for medically related situations for people. If you want to know something, the more detail, all you have to do is, I guess, on a computer, type in All of Us, and you can go to the website, and they are very detailed in specifically what they collect, what they don't collect, and you have multiple options on whether you want to provide your medical records to them, whether you want your DNA tested.
So it's a broad range of things there, Jeff. So, Mary, maybe something to look into at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it, all of us. Jeremy emailed. He got a DNA test a few years back. Last year, they got his mom one, but his dad was adopted and passed a half dozen years ago, and they have no idea what his genetic makeup was. Is there a way to find it using Jeremy and his mom's results? Also, he matched with a guy in Maine that is a first cousin of on his dad's side. How can Jeremy trace this cousin's relationship to his dad?
Well, that is a great question. Having a first cousin match means that you share grandparents. So that first cousin's parent and your dad would then be siblings. So hopefully this person has a tree, or you can build one for him. I do a lot of tree building when mm-hmm. people don't have trees. And then you can see, like, if you get really lucky that your match's parent only had one sibling, and then you know that would be your dad's parent. You know, usually we don't get that lucky, and you have a whole bunch of siblings, and then you have to narrow things down from there.
So, but there's good positive result there that they have that first cousin on his dad's side.
Mm-hmm, that's very promising.
Very promising. All right. There you go, Jeremy. Lisa in Whitefish Bay, what's on your mind?
Hi. We have a family story that we're descended from Henry Clay, the Kentucky statesman, and my dad's family's off from Louisville, Kentucky. And the name Clay has come down through the family over the generations. And I'm wondering if with DNA testing, there's any way to confirm or deny that that's a possibility in our family.
I would say they definitely that if you do DNA testing, then you can look at your matches. You can search for people who have Clay in their family trees. And then you can look at their trees and see if they go back to this Henry Clay, and then see if that fits into your tree. You know, you have to figure out how do you fit into the Clay family tree, assuming you've got some Clay matches.
So that's something. If it was me, I'd probably hire somebody like you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take you to do something like that? Typically, I suppose it way depends.
Right. It really depends. Sometimes it's very quick, you know, so let's just say 2 to 4 hours. And then sometimes it's more like 12 or 20 or more. Like if it's my project and it's my ancestor, you know, I have spent probably hundreds of hours figuring out things, you know, and sometimes successfully, sometimes not. And it just depends upon how far back in your tree the person is and also how good your matches are. So, for example, I have found a third great-grandfather that who gave up his daughter for adoption because his wife, the mother, died. And, you know, the conditions were such that I was able to identify him through DNA. And then I've got another second great-grandparent, a great-grandfather, and I have narrowed it down to a specific family that came from a specific place in Europe, but I have not found the man.
Interesting. Lisa, thanks again for calling. Pat and Madison, your turn. Hi, Pat.
Hey, hi. Just a resource that might be of help for people who are adopted or offspring of those who are adopted is that the State Department of Children and Families is the repository for adoption records in Wisconsin. And for, I think, $20 or $30, you can fill out an application and select to receive information that they have on record.
Yeah.
That's a really good tip. And, you know, they have certain conditions that are applied to whether or not you can receive an original birth certificate. So not everybody can do that. And also, sometimes when we get original birth certificates, it will list the mother's name, and then under father, it will say unknown. Mm. And, you know, so that's, you know, or sometimes it's a falsified name. Mm. I've seen that where it's, you know, kind of a very generic name, and it's not in any of the DNA matches. You know, let's say Robert Johnson, right? So Johnson, yeah. You would think most people have Johnson matches. Mm. And in this case, there were very, very distant matches, and they, you know, I could tell that the name had been made up.
Lute in River Falls. Hi.
Hi, Larry, and your guest, whose name I didn't get. I just tuned in late. My background on my father's side, they say they're 100% Finnish and very proud of it. But I'm thinking that there might be Sami, which would be a Laplanders, mm-hmm. in their background. And I'm wondering how I could get my DNA tested to, you know, have the best results on that.
So for a Finnish background and so forth, what would be the best place to go for testing?
I would test at Ancestry. You might want to first do a Google search to see if they have a specific community called Sami, just because that might be one of the breakdowns of Finland that they have. Mm. It's really nice. You know, today, companies like Ancestry and 23andMe, they, you know, it's not just Finnish, but they'll say Eastern Finnish or Western Finnish or more, you know, even more specific. And I have worked Finnish cases, and I just can't remember if there is a Sami. They're called communities, which is basically just a breakdown of the ethnicities.
Thanks again for that question. Sue emailed to ask, how should she respond to a sister-in-law who says DNA results from places like Ancestry are being given to the Chinese?
Oh, boy. you know, I guess you could ask her why. You know, why would that be true? I don't know. I have not heard that.
Well, I think it is true.
Right.
So sometimes when it comes to relatives, there may be differences of opinions on a whole variety of things like ancestry or politics or whatever. But Mary, another comment?
Yeah, I also wanted to say back when we were talking about law enforcement being able to use the databases, what they do, it's not that they just like open the door and they look and they see like, well, who's in here and what is their DNA? Instead, what they do is they submit a sample into the database and they see who is matched to that sample. A lot of times it's second cousins, you know, if they're lucky, and or maybe third cousins, or if they get really lucky, a first cousin. And they're only seeing the matches the same way we as test takers see our matches. You know, we as test takers can't jump into the database and see, you know, the 20 million people who are in it. We only see the matches. And like I said, law enforcement is only using family tree DNA and GEDmatch at this time.
So there you go. Can you, if you've already done a test, I think you may have answered this already, but just can you go back and remove it from the database?
Yes. Yes.
So you can just say, hey, no, I don't want this anymore, and they take it out.
Right.
And you've just explained the privacy. Are there some good resources for learning more about DNA testing?
Well, there are online sources. On my website, I list under the events page where I will be speaking, and I have some free events coming up. One in Florida. Unfortunately, it's a virtual. So it's free. It's virtual. You can sign up. I believe that the Wisconsin Historical Society has a DNA conference that where registration is still open. So if you're interested in a local thing, check out the Wisconsin Historical website for their conferences. And like I mentioned earlier, I do this YouTube Live on the channel called Are You My Cousin? And that's the first Thursday of the month. And I either do a little PowerPoint presentation or we do a Q&A and answer people's questions.
Mary Eberle, our guest today. Mary, thank you so much. And by the way, and so your website or your site to go to is?
DNAHunters.com.
DNAHunters.com. Mary Eberle, our guest. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks.
Mary Eberle has come by often with us, and it's always fun to hear what she has to say about using DNA to trace your family tree. Well, the next pair of guys that are coming on the program, I don't know if they use DNA to check their turkey's family tree, but when it comes to Thanksgiving turkeys, but maybe I'll ask them that. Mad Dog and Merrill, our guests, coming up next when we talk about grilling for Thanksgiving and the holidays. I'm Larry Mueller.